very pleased to have with us Ala Abdelnaby, color analyst for the Sixers on TV. First of all, welcome. It's great to have you with us. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks for having me, Steve. Appreciate it.
Hey, let's start with this before we get to the Sixers. A lot of people who have played for Mike Krzyzewski have talked about the impact he had on their lives. What kind of impact did Coach K have on your life?
Oh, man. I don't know if we have enough time in the show for all of the impacts. I can tell you that he helped me grow up. He helped me achieve my goals. There are still things that he taught me back then, heck, 30-something years ago, that I still carry with me every day. So it's hard to just kind of narrow it down. But I can tell you that, you know, when you're a young kid and you're going through the process of becoming a man, that's a big deal. So whoever's guiding you through that process is important. And he was amazing through that. And like I said, when I got there, I wanted to play in the NBA. So being able to achieve that goal, too, and him helping me along the way, it makes me definitely fond of him even more.
And then one more question on that before we get to the Sixers. Every time I go through a recruiting process here at Penn State, and then I have to talk about who was signed or whatever, I said this is the most important decision day of their lives. It impacts maybe the next 20, 30 years of their life. Is it safe to say that in terms of your experience at Duke and with Coach K?
No question about it, Steve. And when I look back, it was the best decision I've ever made. And it's one that still pays off to this day. Which is remarkable because, like I said, it's been 30-plus years. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. It's a big deal, and I take a lot of pride in when I first met him back in 1984. He wasn't the Coach K that he is now, but I saw something in him, and it's kind of neat that I saw it a lot earlier than most of the country did and most of the world. But I do. I take a lot of pride in seeing his special qualities.
All right, now let's get to the Sixers. What do you think of, what kind of defender, in your opinion, has Ben Simmons become? And is he the kind of defender that the Sixers need to have consistently on Trae Young because of the height advantage?
Well, I think the luxury the Sixers have, and you know, I don't want to panic here because the series is, you know, it's still early. But you know, Doc is going to try a number of different guys on him, and I thought you saw him start off with Danny Green, and you know, I don't know if anybody at that moment covering him would have had any real impact on him. They were rolling, he was rolling. They started off really hot. At one point, was it a 17-0 run? They were shooting in the 70s percentage-wise in that first half for a good chunk of it. So I'm not sure, you know, anybody would have done anything to that. But that being said, I thought they wore on him as the game went on. Ben's physicality and his size, I thought his aggressiveness in that second half. The Sixers got punched in the mouth, and it took them a half to bounce back. The problem is they dug themselves such a big hole that, you know, they almost got out of it, but it was just too much to overcome in one half. And I think they'll be ready. The promising signs, if there is a silver lining, is that I think that's as good as Atlanta's going to play, especially in that first half. And the 76ers had 9 turnovers in that first quarter and really didn't do much defensively. And yet, at the end, when it was all said and done, they were still very much in the ball game. So I expect the Sixers to come out and be the aggressor and not the reactor in game 2. And I think things change.
In fact, I want to get to the second half because in order to get back in the game like they did and to make it really competitive down the stretch, you have to do a lot of things right. What did they do right in the second half that you think are building blocks for the rest, for not just game 2, but the rest of the way through?
Well, I think it's you build on what I just said in that you're the aggressor. They're reacting to you. The 76ers were chasing every Hawk in that first half, and you can't play that way because they're really good. And if you allow them to be the aggressor and play, you know, attacking and carefree, which is what it looked like in the first half, that you play to their strengths. And I thought the 76ers took that away for the most part in the second half. They blew up their pick and rolls. They just gave them different looks. And I thought Atlanta had at times got knocked back on their heels. And I thought that's when you saw the real 76ers. That has to be from the tap in game two, because Atlanta's too good to give them possessions, give them a part of a period. You've got to dominate them for four quarters. Trae Young's too good.
All right, so now let's get to Joel Embiid. He had 39 yesterday. What did you think about him and the matchup he has inside?
Oh, I had no issues with him. He was tremendous. And then we're talking about going up against a guy like Capella, who's been playing probably his best basketball of his career coming into this series. So I thought Joel was Joel. I didn't really have any issues with the offense in the second half. The first half, he didn't run as much. He didn't get as many easy buckets. I thought in the first half the Hawks got open looks, while the Sixers, their shots were all contested. And I thought that made a big difference. That had something to do with the shooting percentage. It's also something to do with the 76ers, I think, reacting and allowing the Hawks to play their game. And in the second half, you saw them interrupting whatever the Hawks were trying to do. And I think that's the way they got to go.
Yeah, I thought Capella did a great job in Julius Randle in the next series.
He was excellent. Yeah, physical.
Yeah, very physical. You've been through this before. Everybody talks about adjustments between games. So when you've been on the winning side, coaches know adjustments have to be made. How tough is it to convince the winning side they need to make adjustments? How easy is it to convince the losing side they have to make adjustments, since you've lived it?
Well, I think it's definitely easier if you're addressing the losing side. Because I think when you're the losing side, you're looking for answers. You're searching for something to get you over the hump. But that being said, good groups can also be very receptive on the winning side. It depends on the group. If it's a satisfied group, then I think they'll, you know, take a deep breath like human nature is and relax a little. While I think if it's a hungry collective, you know, that one win makes them hungrier. Again, I think it all depends on the personality of the group, but I definitely think Doc Rivers has their attention, because, you know, that was a, I don't know if it was a shock, but I definitely think it was a small surprise in the way things turned out, and especially the way things played out in that first half.
When you look, I mean, the teams have stars, obviously. Where does Tobias Harris fit in what they need to do? Because obviously Simmons does his deal. Obviously Joel does his deal. What can Harris now mean as that third guy?
Well, I think he's that medium-range guy. He's the post-up guy. He's the guy in transition. Yeah, he'll knock down an occasional three, but I think where Tobias's value really is on the move, on the dribble. Sure, he'll post up if there's a mismatch in size, but it, to me, it's that little 1-2 dribble explosion, getting to the elbow, knocking that jumper down, or at the foul line extended. You know, that's where his money is, and I think that's where he's needed. The 76ers at times were kind of one-dimensional with Joel at times yesterday, and I think Tobias needs to add even more of a dimension.
The other guy, I love this guy defensively in college, Thybulle. You watch him now all season long. What makes him such a good fundamental defender? Because when I watched him in college, I thought, this guy gets it.
I think it's instinct. You know, it's his anticipation. To be a good defender, you have to anticipate what's about to happen and then intercept what's about to happen, whether it's a pass or a dribble. And so that means you have to have an IQ for the game. You have to have an understanding of the game to be able to predict what's about to happen and then put yourself in the middle of it, because that's what we see him do. So when you look at him, what I see is a guy who's got a really high basketball IQ. And for a guy new to this level, that's pretty remarkable, because I know basketball is basketball, but it is played differently at this level. And for him, in a short period of time, to grasp that end, which, let's face it, if you look at a guy like Tyrese Maxey, who has all the physical skills and speed on top of it, you know, he's come a long way defensively, but he wasn't a good defender when he first put on the uniform at the beginning of the year. Doc will tell you that. His numbers defensively have gotten better. That's why you're seeing him in the lineup, because Doc trusts him on the defensive end of the floor. Matisse had that from day one, and that's what makes it remarkable. And it's only becoming more enhanced the more he goes out there and plays. So I can't wait to see this guy play. He's just fun to watch because, like Doc likes to say about Ben Simmons, he swallows up guys at times.
I have to ask, the fact that there are fans now back, and the vast majority of them, by the way, actually are behaving themselves based on, you wouldn't know by the headlines, but almost all of them are behaving themselves. What does it mean to the players just to have that presence?
Oh, gosh, it's huge. I mean, I could only imagine, because it didn't happen when I played, but if you took away the fans, you'd take away that performance side of it. These guys are performers. I know they're competitors first and they're teammates, but you take away that, all you have basically are closed practices. So to have the fans back, to have that energy to feed off of, me as a broadcaster, just having them sitting among us when we used to be alone in that arena, just us and the ball players. Yeah, it's how it's supposed to be, and I think it plays into the Sixers' advantage too, because there is no place like the Wells Fargo Center. I've seen every arena in the league, and there just isn't a place like it when it's rocking.
Yeah, there's a 15,000 seat arena. You know, I'm looking around going, what the heck? You know, I'm doing college games, doing Penn State games. And then I did a football game at Michigan. I had 111,000 empty seats in front of me. I'm just like, are you kidding me? Can this be real?
Cavernous, I would imagine.
It's unreal. All right, so you get to game two. I know you've touched on a few of these things. Adjustment-wise, if the Sixers make the adjustments that are needed, which ones would they be that will show up in game two?
Continue to give Trae Young a myriad of looks. You can't give him a steady diet of something. I wouldn't be surprised if you see Ben on him more because of him being so vocal about it. But I don't know if Doc is going to be married. It depends. If Ben goes on him and locks him down, then I would imagine you're going to continue with that. But I think the idea of giving him several looks, different guys, different lengths, different abilities, I think that will also keep him guessing. If you can just get him to stop playing instinctively for a split second, you have an advantage. But when he's free-flowing along with that quickness and his handle, he's almost impossible to stop. So that's the first thing. The second thing is you've got to play with energy. You can't be the reactor. Yeah. You have to be the initiator and have Atlanta be reacting to you for most of the evening, and I think then things will go the Sixers' way.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. Great stuff.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate you having on. Looking forward to talking to you soon.